We continue today with our special report, the missing pieces of procurement reform, and today wrapping up our special report and the focus today on exactly what we do with all of this as we've examined over the last several days on Federal News Radio and on federalnewsradio.com. So a developing consensus of opinion about elements that need to happen and kind of an agreement on where we stand today, it seems. And you can find all the resources for our special report at federalnewsradio.com right now. It's one of our top stories. A roundtable in our industry chatter segment today, and I'm happy to welcome to the program two great friends of the show, Roger Waldron, the Coalition for Government Procurement. It's great to see you.
Thank you, Francis. Great to be on the show.
Now, you are here also to do your next edition of Off the Shelf, and Off the Shelf is a terrific show that we archive on federalnewsradio.com. It's great to see you.
Yeah, Francis, and we'll have a great show next week. We're going to have Steve Schooner on, a National Sabbinic Professor of Government Procurement Law at the George Washington University Law School.
And excellent.
Always provocative opinions.
Yeah, and a really smart guy, knows his stuff so well. So we'll look forward to that. Stan Soloway is the president of the Professional Services Council. It's great to see you, my
always
friend. Thanks for coming
here.
In. So here's where I want to start, gentlemen. As part of our special report, I talked to Marsha Matson, who was the chair of the SARA panel. They wrapped up their work in late 2006, early 2007. And as I prepared to do my interview with her, which is archived along with those other resources on our website, I looked at a lot of the news coverage of the conclusion of the SARA panel. And a lot of the issues about which they made recommendations are the same things that we're talking about in this special report in 2014. And one of the questions that I asked her was, has much changed? And her response was, no, you're right. These issues are the same issues that we're talking about, enhancing the acquisition workforce and growing it, and on, the things that the three of us have talked about individually, one-on-one, on a number of occasions. Roger, I want to start with you. At what point do we start to turn this discussion into a series of action items? And did I miss something in my conversation that we're still talking about the same stuff we were talking about 6 years ago and maybe 16 years ago and before that and before that?
No, Francis, no, you're not missing anything. And I was a member of the SARA panel, and the issues that we saw then that made recommendations on are still many of the fundamental issues that we're dealing with today. And in fact, and I know Stan and I will both address this, a lot of things are worse. Mm-hmm. Than they were at that time in terms of the compliance environment, the focus on not government unique requirements versus access to the commercial marketplace and reducing barriers to entry and intellectual property rights. You go down the gamut, things are not where they should be if you want an efficient and effective procurement system overall that serves the American people. So, you know, things are worse. I think they are the same issues. And, you know, where do we get consensus? I think there's so many different stakeholders. I think we could find consensus here today with the three of us, but there's so many different stakeholders. And in particular, you know, there's a huge disconnect. And I know PSC is focused on this between the oversight community and those who are in the business, who are in the business of meeting requirements and meeting mission, and how that plays out in the procurement system. And that, frankly, is going to be a big hurdle.
You laid out some really juicy topics that I want to come back to. Stan, things not better, things actually worse 6 years on from the SARA panel.
I agree with Roger, and it's ironic because Roger was on the SARA panel, and we had plenty of debates over substance and elements of the report. In fact, I testified with Marsha when the Senate had the hearing on the panel.
I remember that.
You remember?
But
my point about this is that the focus of the hearing was not about big picture. It was about the tactical sort of immediate things, like should we have protest authority on task orders? And I think that gets to the heart of kind of what my concern is that we continue to focus on tactical moves that are doable dues in the near term and then wash our hands and say, oh, we just reformed
the
system. And we haven't done anything really systemic. And so I think Roger's right. The acquisition workforce challenges, when you have a senior official in the largest buying agency in government literally yell, pounding a table, we have the highest qualified, best prepared acquisition workforce ever. And then we at PSC survey acquisition officials in government, not industry, 10 consecutive times, and they tell us overwhelmingly, no, we're not getting the people with the right skills. It's not the people aren't bad. It's just the training is still the same stuff we were doing 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. When you get a complete disconnect between leadership and the front line, you don't even have sustained leadership attention to real systemic change. I think Roger's point is right. So when Marshall looks at the big picture at the Sarah panel, was trying to start with a strategic framework, most of the attention of what you all did got down to the sort of the tactical level, and you missed the forest for the trees.
So the reason I wanted to take this approach about this conversation, gentlemen, is because we could talk about some of the issues, and we will throughout the course of the programs, talk about some of the issues with the compliance environment and with the makeup of the acquisition workforce and the quality of the training and their skill sets and all of that. But I don't know how much of a point there really is to going through all of that again when I'm starting to see, and maybe you can tell me if you're seeing not unanimity, but at least a consensus of opinion about what has to happen in some of these very critical elements. And so if the community as a majority, maybe not a whole, is all going in the same direction, but nothing's still happening, I'm not sure I know what good it does to analyze it again and again and again.
So it's a great point. So what I think you have to step back and say, first of all, there are folks in the administration today who I actually do think get it. They don't have much time to get much done in a big picture. But mm-hmm. I think you have to start, and the only way we're going to get there is step back at a very fundamental level and recognize a couple things. One, you have an entirely new generation of acquisition professionals coming into government. The question is, what do you want them to be like in the future? We're looking at today and yesterday. We're not looking at what acquisition of the future should be 5 years, 10 years, even 20 years down the road. We haven't really addressed. We have a program side of the house that says we really want the best commercial solutions. But as Roger said, we create every barrier in the book to commercial entities coming in. So a lot of those issues begin to take care of themselves if you give the workforce the tools they need to do the job right and the support to do it right. Mm-hmm. So we have to. I think I've come to the conclusion we have to start with that. And so you take compliance. Why do we have so many compliance regimes? Because at the end of the day, the oversight community doesn't trust the workforce to do the right thing and to make sure they get the right answer. I mean, that's one of the main reasons.
Well, perhaps they don't trust anyone.
They don't trust anyone. That's a fair thing. You know, why are we still talking about profit policy? Or why are we even take, you know, and again, we don't want to get into a discussion of specific issues, but we take intellectual property. If we're really thinking in the future, we're not talking 10 years, we're talking next year. You just look what's going on in the technology space today. The whole discussion of IP is completely different than it was 5 or 10 years ago, mm-hmm. with open source and all these other things that are going on. Yet, do we have a community of education in government that's actually giving people sort of contemporary information, knowledge base, and so forth? That's the kind of fundamental reset and rethink I think we need to start with.
Where does that need to start, do you think, Roger, a conversation like that that really gets at the root of the changes that have to happen?
Well, I mean, I think you start at OMB. You've got to start with OFPP, and Anne Rung has, you know, just been confirmed and has taken the job there. That's the bully pulpit. Mm-hmm. There's opportunity there. I think you put people in a room and have a conversation and continue the conversation, but it's got to be a real conversation. You know, much of the sense that I have about conversations that's taken place more recently are other check the box conversations, right? Where, you know, we've talked to industry and this is their views, and then the government proceeds down the path that it's already figured out it wants to go down, mm-hmm. but we've talked to industry. I think it's got to be a real conversation, and that takes leadership. And I think one of the things that to Stan mentioned support for the workforce. I mean, it's the key folks in my perspective in government have always been, you know, that middle manager, the GS-14s, 15s, the SESs, to manage programs and leadership from those folks in this area and having that conversation. You know, they have a strategic sourcing leadership council that they had to open that council up and just sit down with industry directly face to face and have conversations about how, if they want to reduce cost and increase value through the procurement system, there's got to be that kind of leadership-to-leadership discussion.
I even go more broader than that, because I agree with what Roger is saying, but if you think about even the workforce, I've used the phrase, not popularly a few times, I don't think people like it, is that we need something of an acquisition spring. This is going to have to come from within. As you know, Kim McCabe and others have been involved in this Acquisition of the Future initiative, which largely involves government acquisition folks sort of thinking through what the future looks like. We at PSC have been involved both with that as well as with a kind of a longer-term innovation agenda. But at the end of the day, this somehow it needs to come from within, because those of us in industry, we look like we're just padding industry's coffers. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you take a certain position on one side, you're considered politically right or left or what have you. I think that there is a talent base within the government that, with the right support and energy, could actually drive some stuff. Because I actually do think there are people in the administration, particularly, I mean, and Anne Rung is a good example. Beth Colbert's a good example. They kind of get this, but I think they're struggling with, okay, we got 18 months. Mm-hmm. What are we really going to get done?
Every single person that I talk to at every agency about this issue, they all say the same thing. We understand that the acquisition workforce needs support. We understand they need training. We understand that it needs to be training for acquisition and government in 2014, not what we were doing 20 years ago. One of my conversations for the special reports with Melissa Starinsky, that'll be on the program later this afternoon. She talks about some of the things that they're doing at the VA Acquisition Academy. So there are, people understand that the needs that the workforce has today are dramatically different than they have been historically. Are they not doing it right? Are they not doing it fast enough, Roger? What's the holdup? And I'm not asking you to throw stones at anybody. I want to try to understand what has to happen, because if we're still talking about the same things we were 8 years ago, it's not, something's not happening somewhere. There's a disconnect somewhere that we need to get at.
Well, you know, with regard to the acquisition workforce, you're really talking about a long-term investment, right? This is not something that's going to change overnight. You know, we had, you know, the post-Cold War, you know, in the 90s, you cut the acquisition workforce, particularly at DOD. You know, the idea is we'll streamline the acquisition process. We can do more with less. So there's years and years of lack of investment in the acquisition workforce. I think there's consensus. I will say there is consensus across the community that that we have to make those investments. But it's a generational thing. It's going to take a long-term, disciplined, focused effort on improving the acquisition workforce.
We made the investment. That's the problem. You know, Congress passed this special fund. I think it was over 5 years, it was about $2.5 billion or $1.5 billion for DOD for acquisition workforce development. And things haven't markedly improved. So you have to wonder where the investment went. I'll answer your question, because Roger and I are singing from the same hymnal here. But I'll give you an example. Several years ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, the Defense Acquisition University asked us to take a look at their curriculum, because they were doing a curriculum around how you buy services. Mm-hmm. What a concept. We're only 52% of DOD's buy and 75% of what the government buys. So we took a look, we went back and said, there's some good stuff in here, but there's a few things you're missing. There's nothing in here that teaches basic business acumen. There's nothing in here that teaches you about how an enterprise looks at and manages and mitigates risk. I mean, the core elements of a business deal. Great. We helped them develop a module, which I'm not even sure is even offered anymore. It was only an elective at the time. When we go out and survey federal acquisition folks, and I'm talking about frontline all the way up to very senior executives, they'll tell you, what are the biggest gaps? Negotiating skills, business acumen, understanding risk management, risk mitigation. So I'll be very open and say, I don't think we've met the challenge. I think that the system has not contemporized itself. I think it's sort of stuck in an old way of thinking. You said 2014, we ought to be training people for 2018 and 2025 too, because we get 25 and 28 year olds coming into the system. So right. I think that there's been a huge amount of money thrown at this. It just hasn't been spent smart.
You know, and to Stan's point about risk management, understanding business, that to me, when we engage with the government, that's one of the biggest vacuums, frankly, in the acquisition workforce. And I think part of it is that risk in a government context is managed by process, purely by process, purely by reporting, purely by contract terms and conditions that are designed to ensure compliance with either. And the goal, and I like to say, you know, some of these contracts it's not an IT contract anymore, or, you know, a professional services contract. It's a compliance delivery system. And the goal is to make sure you comply, both on the government side, from the acquisition workforce and the COs, and frankly, the investments and the overhead that companies have to expend to ensure that they comply with these requirements.
We got to take a break. When we come back, I want to continue this conversation. Stan Soloway, the Professional Services Council, and Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, my guests, as part of our special report on Federal News Radio, The Missing Pieces of Procurement Reform. Back in a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. The missing pieces of procurement reform, our special report on acquisition reform all week long, and all the resources for it are at federalnewsradio.com. My Industry Chatter special edition today with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement and Stan Soloway of the Professional Services Council. And Stan, but when we were talking before, you made a point about risk management, and Roger followed up on that. You had something before we went to break.
Well, I was just going to add one more thing, because again, we don't want to get into the specific issues of what we need, you know, change this policy, change that. But the risk issue to me is fascinating on two other levels. Number one, we talk about this risk equation in an environment that demands zero defects. Mm-hmm. So you have high risk, but a risk-averse environment. Why are contracting folks or acquisition folks afraid to take risks? Because if they take a chance and something goes south, they get hammered. Whereas we know the rule of thumb is you got to be able to be allowed to fail if you're going to learn anything. The second piece is, that I was going to add to this, is that we're also layering on contracting folks added risk and responsibility for things that they have. They're not even in their bailiwick and expecting them to make decisions. Roger and I were in a meeting at the White House the other day on the latest labor executive order, and I'm not going to get into the details of it. But part of it is it's going to require contracting officers to be making really complex decisions about really complicated legal issues that aren't even in their professional realm. And so you have a risk-averse environment, very little training and education around how an enterprise has to manage and identify risk, and you're adding more risk to the folks. None of it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Roger, you've been dying to share a quote that you brought along with you. And I'm grateful for you for doing homework. I mean, you took this seriously. Soloway just walked in off the street and started shooting from the hip, but you obviously prepared to come in and have this conversation.
You know,
the deal's off, Francis.
Well, Francis, you know, I'm looking at the missing pieces. You know, I was thinking about the missing pieces. Mm-hmm. And we're talking a lot about compliance and oversight and about management. And, you know, there's this great quote from, you know, former CEO for 3M, a great American company, William McKnight, the McKnight Principles of Management. And this, I mean, says it all for me with regard to the current oversight environment. He said, as our business grows, it becomes increasingly necessary to delegate responsibility and to encourage men and women to exercise their initiative. This requires considerable tolerance. Those men and women to whom we delegate authority and responsibility, if they are good people, are going to want to do their jobs in their own way. Mistakes will be made, but if a person is essentially right, the mistakes he or she makes are not as serious in the long run as the mistakes management will make if it undertakes to tell those in authority exactly how they must do their jobs. This is a key too. Management that is destructively critical when mistakes are made kills initiative, and it's essential that we have many people with initiative if we are continue to grow. And I would submit that the oversight community, the oversight culture we have, whether it starts with the Hill, down through the IGs, the department, all that oversight community is killing initiative. It's killing opportunities to improve our system. And there's got to be a rebalance. I understand that, you know, we don't want fraud in our system. I understand the role of the Inspector General from my time at GSA. I even got honor awards from the IG in working with them. But I think the balance has been lost over the last 10 to 15 years, especially.
But it's also a bit of physician heal thyself. I mean, there are things that have happened within the acquisition community in terms of how we treat people, delegate people. It's not just the other community. It's our own community. And I made a comment recently and got into an argument with the government person that, you know, if you're a new contracting person, particularly at DOD, but other agencies also, the first thing you do is go to FAR boot camp. And my comment was, if you want to kill creativity and innovation happening on day two, start day one with the rules, mm-hmm. right? And so I just think that there's a lot we can do within this broader community, even.
Right. That's part of the compliance environment.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
You've got a set of rules. You've got to go to FAR boot camp. You've got to, you know, you're measured on how well you comply with the rules and whether or not, you know, if the system actually meets performance requirements and supports the particular mission.
But before we get too pessimistic, coming back to your missing pieces, and you asked the opening question is, you know, at what point do we step back and mm-hmm. and reset, reboot? There are a number of initiatives underway right now, and I don't want to be Pollyanna because I've been around long enough to be cynical, but there are some very serious conversations taking place, particularly in the Congress today, about really rethinking some of the core elements of acquisition. A lot of it focused on DOD for obvious reasons, but they will have government-wide implications. You've got the review that the House and Senate Armed Services Committees are doing. We've got a new report that just came out of the New Democrats on acquisition and change and changes to acquisition that need to take place. A lot of it around innovation and technology. You know, Senate put out a report recently. One of the subcommittees put out a report. It was a lot of thought papers by a bunch of different people, so it wasn't really a prospectus about what we could change. Mm-hmm. But there are a number of different initiatives. And then there's a group of folks, both Democrat and Republican, working together in the Senate on the next generation of IT reform. So there are some serious – I've been in on a lot of these conversations, and there is an art of the possible that we have to deal with here. But there, the conversation may be getting more serious than we've seen in a while, because there is so much frustration – so much recognition that it's easy enough to point fingers, but you could point fingers every which way and still be right.
That's where I want to leave it. We're almost out of time, gentlemen. But that the one report that you referenced is from the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations. Right. It's Senators Levin and McCain. And interestingly enough, also the chairs of the Senate Armed Services Committee and ranking member. One of the people who contributed to that was also part of the interviews that I did for the special report. This is what this person said to the committee. I can assure you that our federal procurement system, including at the Department of Defense, is in many ways a model for the world. So I guess where I'll – you know who it was? You're laughing, Stan.
I don't want to say.
I mean, it's okay, on the record. Okay, it was Dan Gordon. And so I – and if you want to – Tell me if you agree. Parse the sentence.
A model for the world as far as public procurement goes. I mean, for those of us who have dealt with other countries.
Well, he didn't say that,
what he's talking about, because I know Dan well enough, right?
Okay, that's fine. But what I'm saying, what I'm get at as we wrap, is are we potentially maybe spending too much time focusing on what's wrong with the procurement system and not talking about what's working okay? Because you mentioned a moment ago, Stan, there are positive signs. There are things that are reason for optimism. And, I mean, if you go on federalnewsradio.com and listen to the interview I did with Dan, that's a theme throughout the entire conversation. He's not saying in context of public procurement systems or whatever. He's an advocate, and he's positive. And sure, he has skin in the game because he was OFPP administrator. But he really believes it, and he knows what he's talking about. So, and I'm not suggesting that you don't or that you don't think he does, or any of that.
Dan and I are very close, and you know, he and I typically – I would take your statements to get to the wrap and flip it a little bit on its head and say,
okay,
forget what's wrong, forget what's right. Think about what we need it to be, and let's get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roger?
The country has so much potential. The government and its contractor base has so much potential. And too often we get wrapped around the axle in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And there's power in simplicity. And the easier the government makes it for companies, contractors to be able to compete for requirements, you know, the better results we have. I mean, ultimately it's about delivering for the American people. And okay, you could say the system's okay or good, or maybe it's a C, but it has the potential to be an A. And that's what we all want, mm-hmm. I mean, collectively. So that's where I'd leave it.
I almost feel like I should apologize to you gentlemen, because to have you ask you to come in and talk for a half hour on fixing and the acquisition reform, the acquisition system, is a really tall task. But I'm grateful for our ability to really focus on how we move from talking about it and gazing at our navels to actually making something happen. I want to thank you both for being here.
I'm glad you're having this conversation, Francis, because to Roger's point, we shouldn't settle for okay. And there is incredible potential, and we have to be looking downstream, and we have to forget what we knew and start thinking about what we don't know. So thank you for having the conversation.
And thank you for being a part of it. Stan Soloway, thank you too, Roger.
And thank you, Francis, and thank you to Federal News Radio for having this conversation.